Good morning. It's nearly Christmas, when we'll be celebrating the birth of Jesus to Mary in fulfillment of this promise of Emmanuel, God with us. This promise was first given to Ahaz, as recorded in the Isaiah passage, then to Joseph, as recorded in Matthew, and now to us this morning, read by Mark and Maz. To help us understand it, let's look at the circumstances of Ahaz and Joseph when this promise was given. Before the promise was given, both Ahaz and Joseph were having a bit of a stressful time. Ahaz was the king ruling over Judah, the house of David, but was having trouble with his neighbors. This was not a matter of loud music or parking spaces, but rather two neighboring kingdoms that had joined forces and marched up against Judah to overpower it. Joseph, on the other hand, had just found out that his fiancée was pregnant with a baby that was not his. He was struggling with working out what was the right thing to do. He was worrying about her reputation, about his reputation, and presumably feeling quite hurt and upset. Also, they would have both been aware of the Lord's history of keeping promises made to their ancestors. The Lord had promised Abraham blessing and a large family with the land to flourish. He had promised the tribe of Israel that he would be their God and they would be his people, and had promised to David that his descendants would be on the throne forever, all if they would just keep their end of the bargain and acknowledge the Lord as Lord. The position of Ahaz, a descendant of David, as king of Judah, the house of David, was a direct fulfillment of this promise. So Ahaz had just been told by Isaiah the Lord had said the attack against Judah would, and him as king, would not succeed. Then at the beginning of our reading, in verse 11, the Lord invites Ahaz to ask for a sign. The Lord makes this promise to Ahaz and offers him a choice of a sign, not because Ahaz is a good person, but because of God's past promises and the Lord's desire for Ahaz to engage with him now. Indeed, Ahaz was not a good person. We can read about that in 2 Kings 16. But the Lord reached out to him because he wanted Ahaz to be different in the future. Ahaz even gets a mention in the genealogy at the start of Matthew, in verse 9, a few verses before our reading, where it talks about Uzziah, father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. However, despite this assurance that the attack will not succeed and the invitation to ask for a sign, Ahaz is not interested in engaging with the Lord and does not see him as relevant, but rather he wants to get on with his life without the Lord, making alliances and trying to impress people. While Isaiah refers to the Lord as Ahaz's God, the Lord your God, Ahaz just refers to the Lord without any reference to a relationship, and he rejects the offer of a sign. But God, being God, gave Ahaz a sign and a promise anyway, even if he didn't want it. This promise in verses 14 to 16 of Isaiah is slightly complicated and worth exploring for a moment or two, as part of it is fulfilled within a few years and part takes hundreds of years. Throughout the Bible, there are many promises which are partially fulfilled soon afterwards and fully fulfilled much later, often by Jesus. Here, part of the promise is about the two kingdoms not being a problem before a child reaches an age of understanding. This would seem to fit with being about Isaiah's son, as he's specifically told to take him with him at the start of the chapter. The part of the promise that says the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel seems to fit with Jesus. And indeed, this is confirmed by Matthew. Therefore, we have this promise as part of a series of promises to Abraham, Israel, and David about God having a special place with them, as expressed in Leviticus 26, verse 12. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. These promises are all part of the build-up towards Jesus and the relationship we can have with him. And the Lord with us as God with us. Ahaz and Isaiah would have understood God with us in their context. I suspect Ahaz would have thought in terms of God being on his side, winning battles and so on. Isaiah may have thought of the Lord's guiding and protecting presence with his people. It's worth noting also that they would have had a sense of the Lord's holiness that we have lost. They would have not expected, as imperfect people, to be able to meet God face to face and live. Therefore, they would have not expected to be close to God. Ahaz's response and his whole approach to Isaiah and the Lord is mostly polite indifference. He lets Isaiah say his words, but carries on as before, behaving badly and trying to impress the king of Assyria, who he sees as powerful. Joseph, on the other hand, took the promise very seriously and acted accordingly. He may or may not have fully understood the message and all its implications, but he changed his plans in the light of it. He welcomed Jesus into his home and had God with him every day, at every meal, through every difficulty and every joy. We don't know if Joseph lived to hear Jesus preach, but if he did, he would have heard him saying, "The kingdom of God is at hand," and would have seen him forgiving sins and performing miracles, which could definitely be described as God with us. So that was them. What about us? What were our circumstances when we heard about God's promise of God with us, as read a couple of minutes ago? What does it mean to us, and how will we respond? We're probably all a bit stressed, but hopefully any problems with our neighbours or family relationships are less severe than for Ahaz or Joseph. Our circumstances are also not quite the same as Ahaz or Joseph. We are not part of the nation divinely appointed to show God to the world. Therefore, he's not on our side in a fighting battle sort of way. And God is not with us in quite the same physical way as Jesus lived with Joseph. We are, however, living after the crucifixion and resurrection, which means that we can approach the Lord based on Jesus' holiness, not our inadequacies. And we are living after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent as an advocate, teacher, and comforter. Hence, we're able to experience God with us in a way that was not possible before. God wants to hang out with us and spend time with us. As the Lord says in Revelation 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He wants to be with us in the normal day-to-day aspects of our lives. Just as Jesus and Joseph would have been with each other in the normal day-to-day life. Those of you who participated in the prayer course we did a year or two ago may remember Pete Grieg talking about an occasion when the Lord prompted him to look at a particular tree, and he eventually realized that the Lord was not saying anything big, just wanting to share with him his delight in a really nice tree. This is a great example of someone simply hanging out with the Lord and enjoying his company. Just hanging out with the Lord sounds like it should be easy. However, just like we often fail to spend quality time with the people we love and somehow manage to spend time in the same place without giving them attention, we can fail to spend time just hanging out with God. In both cases, we miss the benefit of being with them. In both cases, it can take a bit of deliberate effort to spend time together and to create a habit of doing so. Christmas is a really good opportunity for this. And God wants to be with us, not just in the good times, but also when we're having a bad time, depressed, stressed, sad, or lonely. Despite having God with us, we will still have difficult times. But God is available to be with us in those times. A quote I came across recently from Taras Dalatlik, a Ukrainian Christian, illustrates this. In Ukraine, we greet this Advent season as a time of war, but in it, we learn not only to pray for peace, but also acknowledge that peace is not just about the absence of war. It is about God's presence in our hearts and minds. He is the source of our shalom amid the hopelessness. It is about his light over the darkness, regardless of the pain we experience. Whatever we're going through, whether war, suffering, sin, or pain, our peace is you, Emmanuel, God with us. It's also worth noting that God with us may not always be comfortable, where our lives are not up to his standards. We can expect some correction or rebuking to nudge us to behave better in future. God's presence with us is also a permanent thing. It's not just for special times when we're feeling spiritual, and not just for Christmas. As it says in Romans 8, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord. So, in summary, the promise of God with us is part of God's overall plan to have a relationship with us. Because Jesus became a baby born to Mary and did what he did on the cross, we can experience God with us every day. The question for us is how we respond to this promise God made to us to be with us. Like Ahaz and Joseph, we've been presented with an opportunity to acknowledge God for who he is and to accept the promises that he's made for us. We can either ignore the offer, as Ahaz did, or we can, like Joseph, take Jesus into our homes and hearts and hang out with him every day. I encourage you to follow Joseph's example. Thank you.